Martin Luther wrote, "Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. It's fair to say that Paul lived his faith in just such a daring and confident manner. From his second letter to the church in Corinth, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm." Sounds like the embodiment of Luther's words about grace, doesn't it? Through his own experiences of suffering, Paul came to understand grace most profoundly, and for us, most powerfully. Of the 154 occurrences of grace in the New Testament, 100 are in Paul's letters. Grace can be found in every one of his undisputed letters. Now, Paul was a learned and multicultural man. He could read, speak, and write in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. He was a businessman citizen of Rome, working alongside Gentiles and pagans. He was also a Pharisee, a follower of the law of Moses right down to the letter, and he worked to ensure other Jews did the same. When Paul wrote his letters to the new churches in Rome and Corinth, 2 of his most eloquent and powerful letters, by the way, his words beautifully illustrated a theology of grace. Grace is defined by Merriam-Webster as having loving kindness. Let me tell you a story about loving kindness, which was first told by teacher Jack Kornfield. An American soldier who'd been in Iraq was taking a mindfulness-based stress reduction course offered by the Army upon his return. He had been struggling with anger and was severely critical of others. After a few weeks in the course, he began to learn the classical trainings of loving kindness meditation, in which you repetitively practice sending goodwill to self and to others. One day, he was waiting to pay for a few things in the express line at the local market. The woman in front of him not only had more than 12 items in her cart, she was also showing off a little baby to the cashier, who was then gushing over and holding the baby. The cashier was taking quite a bit of time to talk with the woman in front of him. "Oh, great," he thought. "Not only is this woman in the wrong line, she's chit-chatting about her baby. This is taking much longer than I thought it would, and I hate waiting. And I hate it when people don't follow the rules. And why is this cashier so slow? I have half a mind to tell them both off right now." When he got to the register a few minutes later, he realized that the little baby really had been kind of cute and decided to mention this to the cashier. She replied, "Oh, you think so? Thank you. That's my son. Because my husband was recently killed in action, my mom takes care of my baby much of the time. She brings him here to work every day so that I can see him." Grace means having loving kindness. Our soldier, in being mindful about practicing loving kindness, deeply understood the meaning of grace from that day on. Grace is what God is. full of love and kindness for all people. When Paul signs off in his letters to the churches in Rome or Philippi or Corinth by saying, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you," what he's telling them and us, by the way, is may your days be filled with this kind of powerful loving kindness for ourselves, for one another, and for the stranger. Choose love, mindfully walk in kindness. Let me say that again. Choose love, mindfully walk in kindness. To paraphrase Christy Ann Burnside from Mindful magazine, the good news is that, like Paul, we can learn to be kinder. We literally train our brains every day by the things we repeatedly say and do. So when we practice kindness, we're training our brains to get better at kindness. When we practice being frustrated, angry, or otherwise stuck in our reactions, we get better at that. What we practice and how is our choice. Grace can also be defined as mercy and generosity. There once was a little boy named Matthew. One rainy afternoon, his mother was driving along one of the main streets in town. Suddenly, her young son Matthew spoke up from the back seat. "Mom, I'm thinking of something." Usually this meant he had been thinking deep thoughts for a while, and now he was ready to talk about what his 7-year-old mind had discovered. His mother was all ears. "What are you thinking about?" she asked. "The rain. It's like when we do stuff that we know we shouldn't do, and the windshield wipers are like God wiping it all away." "That's really good, sweetheart," she replied. Then she wondered how far her little boy could take this way of thinking about God. "Do you notice that the rain keeps on coming? What does that tell you about God?" He didn't hesitate one second. "We keep on doing stuff we know we shouldn't do, and God keeps on forgiving us anyway." My friends, that's what the merciful and generous nature of God looks like. We keep on doing stuff we know we shouldn't do, raining sin in our lives, and God just keeps on wiping them away, showing us mercy, generous with forgiveness. We experience God's presence whenever we work to make our days sacred. And we can do it through the power of God's grace working in us more than we can ask or imagine. But Paul is also just as clear about one very important aspect of sanctification and forgiveness like this. Just because God is abundantly merciful doesn't mean that we can just keep on sinning. From Romans 6, verses 1 to 5, from the Message. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he wrote to them of the churches in Macedonia, which, despite their own poverty, had been moved by grace to pour out their offerings to the church in Rome. supporting those in need. We do the same here when we offer our pledge to God's house at St. Michael's. Which brings me to a third expression of Paul's theology of grace, the gift of grace in the followers of Jesus Christ. Divine grace provides and empowers spiritual gifts in believers. Sometimes we call them charisms from the same word charis, which means grace. They are gracious bestowments of the Holy Spirit in our gathered community, given to us for the sake of building up the people of God, here and outside these walls. God's grace pays it forward in and through us by empowering us to be gracious and generous in our support of the ministries of the church in this place in very real and concrete ways. Grace is so integral to Paul's faith that all of the Pauline letters begin and end with grace. It's as if Paul wanted the whole of the beloved's lives to begin and end with God's grace. Today's reading from Paul from his letter to the church in Philippi was written while he was in prison. You can hear his longing to be with his beloved church again. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, can't you just hear God's grace flowing through him and into the words on the page? Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Don't worry. Jesus is close by. Keep up with your acts of loving kindness to one another. Bake a loaf of bread for the woman whose husband just died. Donate a bag of groceries to the food bank. Visit a church member in the nursing home or hospital. Go do these ordinary things and bear God's love to those outside these walls and this building, because that's what the ordinary, everyday power of God's grace in Jesus Christ looks like. You are a people of God's grace. You have experienced God's presence right here. Like the church in Philippi, let your lives radiate loving kindness. Like the church in Corinth, let your lives be full of mercy. Beloved, let your thoughts overflow with honor and justice. Be mindful of loving kindness throughout your day. Be merciful in your relationships. Let your gentleness be known to all. And don't worry. Give your requests to God in prayer. And may the God of peace and grace be with you this day and forevermore. And may all God's people say, Amen.